Welcome to God and Country Radio, a weekend program that discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in central New Jersey, exit 120 of the Parkway. The Democrats, in their campaign strategy, are targeting certain identity groups with Zoom calls and ads such as White Women for Harris, Black Women for Harris, Asians for Harris, and now there's also Evangelicals for Harris. Yes, you heard me right, Evangelicals for Harris. Evangelicals are considered the largest voting bloc in America. Pew Research says it's about 24% of the public, which is pretty much larger than any other racial or social group in the country. And evangelicals overwhelmingly vote Republican. They're often one-issue voters, voting for pro-life. So Democrats know if they're going to win, they're going to have to win over some evangelical votes. Reverend Jim Ball, who started Evangelicals for Biden back in 2020, is now gearing up to repackage his organization into Evangelicals for Harris. He has a PhD in theological ethics from the leftist Drew University. He is a global warming activist, and he is the executive vice president for policy and climate change at the Evangelical Environmental Network. He's authored the book, Global Warming and the Risen Lord, also Christian Discipleship and Climate Change, and he created the What Would Jesus Drive educational campaign. So Reverend Jim Ball has bought into the whole man-made climate change, CO2 greenhouse gas myth, which just tells us a whole lot about his discernment and his priorities. Reverend Ball, in his Zoom call that launched Evangelicals for Harris, explained how he was instrumental in Biden's 2020 win by targeting evangelicals with ads criticizing Trump from an alleged Christian viewpoint. He was able to swing enough evangelical voters over to Biden. The extra 11,000 votes to give Biden Georgia and the small margins needed to give Biden Michigan and other swing states. Well, this time he plans to spend over $1 million in internet ads and articles to dissuade evangelicals from voting for Trump. Evangelicals for Harris asks for donations. And when you donate to the organization, it directs you to the premier Democrat fundraising organization, Act Blue. Evangelicals for Harris is a partisan pro-Democrat organization. Is it effective? Should we be concerned? Well, some of the arguments I've heard from Christians as to why they're not voting for Trump come right out of Jim Ball's playbook. Christians do hear these arguments on the internet, and it does persuade some to, at the very least, not vote at all. And here's the approach. To claim that Harris has better character than Trump in regard to faith, integrity, and justice, that all candidates are flawed, but Harris is the candidate that most reflects biblical Christianity. In a 2.5-hour Evangelicals for Harris Zoom call to an audience of about 40,000, Jim Ball had presenting a dozen left-leaning evangelicals. One of the speakers in support of Harris was Billy Graham's granddaughter, Jerusha Duford. She said, quote, in 2016, when a man bragged about assaulting women, various leaders of my faith then propped up this man as a poster boy for godly manhood and leadership. This broke my heart as I have to watch, quite frankly, for the last 8 years. People who are curious about Jesus and his teachings have done a 180 and walked in the other direction from my faith. She alleges that this is because of Trump, his character, his persona. She went on to quote Isaiah chapter 1, verse 30, "For you will be like an oak whose leaves fade away, or as a garden that has no water." And for her, this describes Trump supporters. Quote, "These things happen slowly over time. First, people professing the Lord make excuses for Trump's lack of kindness. Then for the name calling, soon it was making excuses for assault. Then it became making excuses for January 6th. And now making excuses for convicted assaults and 34 felonies. The oak leaves don't wither overnight. I'm terrified to think of how far this turning our head the other way and making excuses will take our country. But more importantly, our witness to the world. Voting Kamala for me is so much greater than policies. It's voting against another 4 years of faith leaders justifying the actions of a man who destroys the message Jesus came to spread, and that's why I get involved in politics. Unquote. Well, the gist of her argument, we have heard often that Christians supporting Trump ruin the Christian testimony for those who don't like Trump's persona. And all this sounds reasonable until we learn that Darusha Duford also supports LGBTQ and supports leftist evangelical organizations that support homosexual marriage. And such is also the case of almost all of the presenters Jim Ball had on his call. They all objected to Trump's character, his bluster, what they considered his lack of kindness. But really what they were objecting to is the conservative moral positions. You know, as in the news media, if Trump had a D for Democrat behind his name and he supported Roe versus Wade and transgenderism, then all of Trump's bluster would be overlooked. And the spin they would put on it is that he is a great comedian. He's a man of the people. This is really all about the moral issues, not about personality. And I guarantee you that if a squeaky clean Republican candidate like Ted Cruz or DeSantis was running in the place of Trump, the evangelicals for Harris would still be voting Democrat. Evangelicals for Harris is just another example of the leftism that has infiltrated evangelicalism, the Christian community, or rather an example of how second and third generations raised in evangelical churches who have never personally been born again, but hold on to the title and some of the culture of Christianity. And I'm serious about asserting that for the most part, these are not born again Christians. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, those who hold to a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Or Titus chapter 1, verse 16, they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him. Matthew 7, 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And Jude, verse 4, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed, ungodly persons who turn the grace of God into licentiousness. And the way we can always tell truth from error is by the clear, didactic moral law of God. Ultimately, the wolves will deny the moral law of God at some point. They will turn the grace of God into license. Evangelicals for Harris is Acts chapter 20, verse 29. Paul says, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. From among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Jim Ball is working to draw away disciples to vote for Harris. Megan Basham, a conservative Christian journalist, has just put out an earth-shaking book entitled Shepherds for Sale, How Evangelical Leaders Trade the Truth for a Leftist Agenda. And in this book, she documents the apostasy in evangelicalism. And she's basically explaining the people and the ideology behind Evangelicals for Harris. And because of the significance of this book as exposing and shaking up the evangelical community, next week I plan to do a book review on Shepherds for Sale. It's a real eye-opener that leftist evangelicals don't want you to know about. Well, just one example from Basham's book, Christianity Today, the premier Christian magazine founded by Billy Graham back in 1956. Between 2015 and 2022, the staff of Christianity Today, the journalists, the editors, the president, and the board members made 74 political donations, every single one went to a Democrat, not a single donation to a Republican. Why? Because they all believe in the moral ideology of the Democrat Party. Christianity Today has been taken over by leftists, and it's reflected in all of the articles. Articles that make excuses for abortion and LGBTQ and CRT and Marxism. Christianity Today is working to do the same thing as Evangelicals for Harris. Make converts to a leftist form of Christianity. As if that's the right version of Christianity. Christianity Today is actually well named. It is Christianity Today. Now, in the remainder of this program, I want to answer the arguments put forth by Evangelicals for Harris. They're subtle. They're deceiving. 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Now, what's alarming is that many conservative evangelicals don't know how to argue against the rationale behind Evangelicals for Harris. Or rather, they miss the main error. Now, solid Christians certainly have a feeling that something is not quite right, but they have a hard time showing from Scripture the error, especially with Evangelicals for Harris using Scripture selectively to support their arguments. Now, their error is not some secret. Don't imagine that the biblical response is complicated, as if it's going to take a seminary degree in theology and biblical languages to discern and expose the error. The error is actually nothing new. We've seen it many times before, even throughout the liberalism versus fundamentalism controversy at the beginning of the 20th century. It's the same error in humanism and wokeism and Marxism, just repackaged with an evangelical face. I could wait to the end of this program to explain it, but here is the short of it for right now. For Evangelicals for Harris, biblical Christianity and orthodoxy is defined by the general concept of love, not the moral injunctions given in Scripture. Love becomes the overriding ethic, and particularly love for people. Affirming people over affirming God. Loving people more than loving God. And this positions itself as being Christian because we need to love one another. Even the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, put up pro-abortion billboards in California with the slogan, "Love your neighbor." In other words, to love your neighbor is to let your neighbor have an abortion. Don't oppress him with God's law. Love can be used to justify anything. And these leftist evangelicals believe in the oppression narrative of cultural Marxism. They support people over God's moral law, believing that God would not oppress people with accountability and responsibility and moral injunctions, things that would make them unhappy. And this is their error. And that's why they vote Democrat, because they believe God is a God who loves all people and loves all of their actions, and he would support mankind and mankind's desires. And this is, in effect, the ideology of Baal worship. A belief in theism, the belief in God, but redefining God as one who puts love and affirming human desires above the moral law of God. And these leftist evangelicals, not understanding the gospel of repentance, fall for cultural Marxism, thinking that the oppression and justice narrative of Marxism is Christian or has Christian roots. When it's actually Satan's original argument against God, that God's law and his requirements of personal accountability repress. For leftist evangelicals, that which oppresses people is wrong, even God's moral injunctions. They speak of grace, mercy, and love, but they do exactly what we're told in Jude chapter 4, that false teachers will turn the grace of God into a license for sin. So that's the short of it. And the only way to overturn the ideology of leftist Christianity is to expose and confront this core error, putting people over God. So now let's break down into, let's say, six categories, the arguments coming out of evangelicalism for Harris. Again, at its root is love for people, or rather love for the world, rather than love for God first. The first argument, pluralism and democracy. That Christians need to let unbelievers practice their lifestyle and their moral choice. Quote, Christians should make room for positions and opinions that they may personally reject, but should have a hearing in a true democracy. And these presenters claim that they affirm traditional marriage, but quote, we want a country big enough for those who don't affirm traditional marriage. Hence, Trump will dismantle democracy, and Project 2025 is a plot to erase diversity in America, and citizens will lose their rights. And that's the lie of pluralism, the lie that turns a country into Sodom. As if governments are established by God to give people freedom to do their own thing, rather than the Romans 13 instruction that governments are established by God to punish evildoers and uphold God's natural law given to all mankind in Genesis. But these leftist evangelicals take this pluralism position because they really don't support God's law. If they truly supported God's law, they would reject pluralism. Argument number two. Supporting Trump hurts the testimony of Christ. Quote, MAGA-style Christians make Christians look like racist, misogynist, authoritarian bullies. Quote, I worry about negative reputation. People view us as partisan. Now my answer to that is, so what? Jesus said, beware when all men speak well of you. The wicked King Ahab called the prophet Elijah the troubler of Israel. The true prophets of God were always outcasts. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death. They were destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Hebrews chapter 11. So since when do we determine what is morally right and wrong by whether or not people are offended? They put Jesus on the cross. So of course we're going to lose our testimony, or rather our favor with the world, when we stand for God's moral law. We will be rejected. In this argument that we lose our testimony, these leftist evangelicals are again showing that they operate on the wrong foundation for morals. Now, these evangelicals for Harris went on to explain that it's Trump's meanness, his bigotry, his recreational cruelty. But that's really subjective. And that's what the false prophets also said about the true prophets in the Old Testament, that they were mean, that they were insulting, that they called people stupid. And this argument is not even an argument, because Harris and the Democrats have been just as mean, if not more mean, toward Trump and the Republicans, but the media doesn't report on those comments. The Democrats are masters at name-calling, that Trump's a Hitler, that he's a felon, that he's a misogynist, that Trump doesn't care about people, only himself. We heard all that at the Democrat National Convention last week, even from Harris. And to criticize the other side is not really a moral argument, because good is supposed to criticize and rebuke evil. The only people who would make this kind of an argument are those who believe that the highest value is being nice. And to make this argument in all sincerity, one would have to actually believe in moral relativism, that there's no such thing as good or evil. And we know that Evangelicals for Harris are actually making this argument because they don't like their positions and their party being called evil. When they do it, it's speaking truth to power. But when their opponents do it, it's not being nice. And I don't believe Trump's bluster hurts the testimony of Christ. You know, just like the prophets in the Old Testament, the Christian community has done a great job communicating to the American people where Christians stand on the issues. The people know that Christians are against LGBTQ, abortions, globalism, Marxism, the religion of global warming. And it's really not a negative for the unsaved world to see Christians supporting the Republican Party, even supporting Trump with all of his faults, because Christians put the moral issues first. The real reason evangelicals for Harris think voting for Trump will be a bad testimony is because they don't really believe in the biblical values espoused by conservative Christians. Otherwise, they would consider Christian support of the Republican candidate a great thing, a necessary thing despite Trump's faults. So it's really about the policies, not the testimony. Argument number three, coming from Evangelicals for Harris: Kamala Harris has a better Christian character than Trump. Quote, who fits the fruit of the Spirit better? And Trump is a bully who degrades the humanity of image bearers. One of the presenters on the Zoom call was a pastor who said Harris is a better person. And then he repeated the same points made at the DNC convention. Trump is an insurrectionist. He's a divider while Harris is a unifier. Trump has taken us backward. Harris has taken us forward. And we all know this argument is subjective. Who you think has a better character is based on which policies and values you believe are right. If you're pro-abortion and pro-LGBT, of course Harris has a better character than Trump. But even besides that, the premise that Kamala Harris is a better person and has better character is questionable. She got into her position as an attorney general in California by being the mistress of Willie Brown, the governor of San Francisco. And Willie Brown was a married man. And those who work for Trump testify that he's a very kind and generous person, while those who work for Harris describe her as a screaming, demeaning bully. People have quit from being on Harris's staff because she's so abusive. But notice that because Evangelicals for Harris support her larger policies concerning LGBTQ and abortion, they have a blind eye toward her character flaws. Argument number four, coming from the Evangelicals for Harris Zoom call: Christians who support Trump view Donald Trump as the savior, and they want the power of politics. They're getting too political. Quote, Trump is exploiting our faith, using the Christian vote to further his own ends. But wait a minute. These are evangelicals who are lobbying for Harris. They have an organization created so they can use the Christian vote to support Harris. And if Trump supporters just want more power, what do Kamala Harris's supporters want? Well, I'm out of time. I'll have to finish refuting this list of Evangelicals for Harris arguments on my extended YouTube and Rumble versions of this program at my channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. But let me close with just one significant historic illustration that Megan Bashan shares in her book. Friedrich Engels, who co-authored the Communist Manifesto with Karl Marx, was raised in a Christian home. And his mother would continually write to her son, begging him to repent and turn from the gospel of Marxism to the gospel of Christ. At the end of his life, Engels was asked who he disliked most in the world. And he didn't hesitate to say Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the famous conservative evangelical pastor in London. Spurgeon, during his ministry, spoke out continually against the new religion of Marxism. He kept England from going Marxist, and Spurgeon was even thrown out of his own denomination for being too controversial, too offensive, too conservative. But that's the legacy of those who are true evangelicals. Thanks for listening. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs, or to get the links to the videos, is godandcountryradio.org. Just spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. Stand firm in the faith. And may Jesus Christ reign.